All right, we're going to be in the book of Esther tonight. Esther is a very unusual book in the Bible. It's the only book in the Bible where God is not mentioned. Might not have known that, but it's the only book in the Bible where God is not mentioned, but God's certainly in the book. I just want to take a couple minutes at the beginning of the message tonight. And again, we're continuing the theme today, since it is time change day, since we changed our clocks this morning. This message has a reference to time as well. I've entitled it, "For Such a Time as This," from that verse 14 that we read a moment ago. But most of you know the story of Esther. There was a king named Ahasuerus who ruled and was planning a military campaign. And so he had gathered all the governors of the different provinces together and was having a feast and a planning meeting. And during that time, he invited his queen, she was a very beautiful lady, to come and show off her beauty to all the men that were gathered there to plan this campaign. And she was also very modest, and so she told the king, "I'm not coming." And the king's advisors said, "Well, she's not only dishonored you, because she's dishonored all of us. She set a bad example for all the ladies in the kingdom. She's refused your command. Now our wives will refuse what we ask them to do. You need to do something so this does not happen." And so he removed her from being the queen. Now his advisors thought then, well, we need to get a new queen. And so they set up a procedure where the young virgins in the kingdom would be brought and come before the king, and the king would get to pick a new queen. There was a young lady in the kingdom, a Jew named Esther. She was an orphan. She was raised by her cousin Mordecai. Mordecai had told, when he found out that Esther was going to be taken before the king, he told her, "Now don't reveal that you're a Jew. You just go like any other young maiden in the kingdom, but don't reveal your heritage. Don't reveal your family." And so Esther, as the Bible says, that she always did what Mordecai told her to do. And so she did not reveal her heritage. She went before the king. And to make a long story short, the king chose her to be the queen. Then the villain comes into the story, a man by the name of Haman. Haman was a high official with King Ahasuerus, second in command, I think the Bible says. And everybody else, when Haman came on the scene, bowed. But Mordecai didn't. He did not pay the proper homage, at least Haman thought, to him. And so he devised a plan not only to kill Mordecai, but he knew Mordecai was a Jew. He devised a plan to kill all the Jews. And so a decree was passed, and I'm shortening the story. There's more detail in the Bible. If you haven't read it for a while, it's an interesting story. Go back and read it. But he passed a decree that on a certain date in the future, that in all of the king's provinces, all the land that he commanded, that the people would rise up and they would destroy or kill all the Jews that lived in the kingdom. Now, when this happened, of course, the Jews around the kingdom were very dismayed. They were worried. And Mordecai sent word to Esther and said, "Esther, you need to go before the king and get this decree revoked or reversed. You need to go in before the king and plead for your people, plead for the lives of your people." And Esther sent word back to Mordecai, "Well, you know, nobody can go before the king unless they're sent for. I haven't been sent for in a number of days. If you go before the king and you haven't been sent for and he doesn't receive you, then you're executed." And so that's what was going on when the verses that we read from chapter 4, Mordecai answered Esther and said, "Hey, don't think for a minute that you're going to be spared just because you're in the palace. You will be killed along with the other Jews. And if you hold your peace at this time, God's going to accomplish his purpose. He'll deliver his people, but he'll have to do it from another place. You and me and our family will be destroyed. And he says, he said to his cousin, he said, Esther, who knows? Maybe this is the reason that you're in the spot that you are. Maybe this is the reason that your life has unfolded the way it has. Maybe this is the reason that your parents died. Maybe this is the reason that I raised you as my daughter, even though we're cousins. Maybe this is the reason that you were chosen to be the queen. Maybe this is the reason that you're in this very spot to have some influence with the king. Now use that influence. Maybe you've been put in this spot for such a time as this. If you keep silent, God will still deliver his people, but he'll have to use somebody else. And if you have been put in this spot for this very purpose, then you will waste the opportunity that God has given you, and you will waste all the preparation that he's had in your life to get you ready for this particular moment. So I have, with that little story as a background, and again, most of you are familiar with the story of Esther. I probably didn't need to tell you about it, but I just wanted to remind you of it tonight. I want to make three statements. Number one, privilege comes from God. Privilege comes from God. In Psalm chapter 75, verses 6 and 7, here's what the Bible says. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Now, the only direction is north. But God is the judge who putteth down one and setteth up another. Esther was queen. She was in that position to stand before the king and plead for her people, not by accident, not by chance, but because she had been chosen and prepared by God to stand in that spot. Tonight, there is nothing accidental about our lives. Tonight, there is nothing that that has happened in our life by coincidence. God has a plan for the life of every person. Now, let me just stop for a minute. Some people say, well, yes, I agree with you. God has a plan for the life of every Christian. No, I believe God has a plan for the life of every person. I don't believe there's a person born into this world without God ordaining it. And I don't believe there's a person born into this world without God having a plan for their life. Now, I believe that his plan for every person's life is for them to be saved, for them to come to know Christ as their Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, part of God's plan for you is to receive Christ as your Savior. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. That penalty is separation from God. Jesus paid your penalty on Calvary. And he offers the gift of life to every single person. And part of the plan of your life that God has put together for your life is for you to come to know Christ as your Savior. But everything else in your life is according to God's plan too. Every privilege that you have in your life comes from God. The fact that you're American tonight, that you live in the United States of America, is a privilege that God has given each of us. The fact that we live in one of the most prosperous times in our nation is not an accident or a coincidence. It was ordained by God that we live in this time. The fact that we still enjoy freedom in this country, again, is not by chance or accident. It has been ordained by God. It is a part of God's plan for my life and for your life. Just don't think that the freedoms that we have today and that we enjoy today wasn't part of God's plan for your life. The fact that you live in them today was ordained by God. He has put you and made you alive at this particular time for a reason. The fact that we can worship and read our Bibles and pray and tell people about Jesus is not by chance or accident. God has ordained that for our particular time. He has ordained us to be a part of that. The fact that you're married tonight is not by accident or coincidence. It is a part of God's plan for your life. The fact that you have children tonight, again, is not by accident or coincidence. It is a part of God's plan for your life. The fact that you have grandchildren tonight. By the way, I got some hugs from my grandsons after church this morning. They ran from me before church, but I captured them after church and got a hug. But anyhow, the fact that you have grandchildren tonight, it's not an accident or coincidence. That is part of God's specific plan for your life. The fact that you attend and belong to this church is not by accident or coincidence. It is God's plan for your life. That's why I asked Garrett this morning, I ask every single person that comes, hey, I want to know, is God leading you here? Do you feel that this is the church that God wants you to be a part of? If you don't answer yes, we won't take you. We don't want you to belong to a church that God don't want you to be a part of. God has a will for that. And we had a couple couples this morning. They said, hey, we're praying about what church we should go to. And I said, well, we'll pray with you. We'd love for you to come here. But if that's not God's will, we don't want you. We want you to go where God wants you to go, because he has a plan for that part of your life. The fact that you hold an office and do something in this church, maybe it's being a deacon or trustee, maybe it's being a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's being the treasurer, maybe it's to sing in the choir, maybe it's to play the instruments, maybe it's to sing specials, maybe it's working in the nursery or the toddlers, maybe it's running the sound system, maybe it's coming on Friday and cleaning the church, and I can go on. There's a lot of things that happen in the background that most people don't see. There's an army of people that make it all work around here. The fact that you get to do that is not an accident, it's not a coincidence. It's a part of God's plan for your life. I mean, God has ordained it. What he has allowed us to do in our life outside of this church is also a part of God's plan. Lydia, I think it's part of God's plan that you're on the school board. It wasn't just by accident. It wasn't just by coincidence. It was God's plan for your life. The fact that Gary and Sharon run an orchard, not by accident, not by coincidence, that's part of God's plan for their life. I mean, I could go around the room tonight if I had time, and I could say something just about every person here, about the life that you have outside of this church. Don't think you just stumbled into that. Don't think it was just the result of some fortuitous coincidences in your life. No, God has put you in that place. He's put you in that position. He's given you the influence that you have, not only here, but outside of these walls. And that it all has been ordained by God. It all has been planned by God. And he's used the experiences in our life to prepare us for this time, this particular moment in time that we live. Ordained and planned by God. So privilege comes from God. Number two, God expects us to use that privilege in his will. In his will. Esther, you're the queen. You go talk to the king. See if you can get him to reverse his ruling. But Mordecai, nobody goes to the king unless they've been called. And I haven't been called for a while. If I go in there and he doesn't receive me, then I will be killed. And Mordecai sent word back, Esther, did you ever stop and think that's why you're here? You are here having been prepared for this moment by God for this particular time, for this particular situation. That's why you're here. Now listen, I can't define for you tonight what God has prepared you for in every situation. I don't have the wisdom, or I don't have the ability to do that. But I know this. Since God has gone to the detail and has worked everything together in your life to make you who you are today and to put you in the positions of influence that you have today, he has a plan and wants to use who and what you are today inside of his will. He has a purpose that he wants you to accomplish. He has something that he wants you to do. And again, as we talked about this morning, the only day that we have to serve God is today. Can't do it yesterday. Can't do it tomorrow. The only day that we have to serve God is today. And again, God has prepared us for today. Every experience in your life, good, bad, pretty, ugly, you know, every experience in your life has made you who you are today. God has used to put you into the position of influence that you have today. Now use it in His will. Use it in His will. He's given us freedom to worship. His will is that we worship. God's given us freedom to read the Bible. His will is that we read it. God has given us freedom to pray. We need to pray. God has given us freedom to witness. We need to witness. That's God's will. You're a husband, you're a wife tonight. Use it in God's will. Be the kind of husband that God wants you to be. Be the kind of wife that God wants you to be. You're a parent and a grandparent by the will of God. He prepared you for this moment. Be the parent that you need to be. Be the grandparent that you need to be. If you have a position in the church, you teach Sunday school, then use it. Teach. Be the teacher that God wants you to be. You're a deacon or a trustee. You're put there by God, not by accident, by God. Be the deacon or trustee that He wants you to be. You sing in the choir, or you play an instrument, or you do something else in the church. Again, you have been given that opportunity to serve God by God. He has prepared you to do it. And so use what He's made you to be what you need to be in His will. And then number three, if we don't use it, God might take that privilege from us and give it to somebody else who will use it. That's what Mordecai told Esther. He said, Esther, I believe that you've been prepared for this moment. I believe you're the queen. And it wasn't by accident. It was ordained by God. And I believe that you were ordained to be queen for this very moment, for this very situation, that you could go and stand before the king and plead for the life of your people. Esther, if you're silent, if you don't use this opportunity that God has given you, I believe God's going to deliver His people another way. And by the way, we know how the story comes out. Haman gets hanged on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. His 10 sons were killed. And even though the law prevented the decree from being reversed, the king gave Esther and Mordecai, who took Haman's place, by the way, gave them the okay to send another decree to the Jews that said, hey, on that very day when you were going to be destroyed, you can rise up and defend yourself. And of course, they did, and a great victory was won for God's people. But Mordecai said to Esther, if you don't take advantage of this opportunity, then God might take it away from you. He'll still accomplish His will. But you will have wasted the opportunity, and you will have wasted all the preparation that God has put into you to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish in this particular moment in time. And that's my message to all of us tonight. We have been prepared and blessed by God. We are what we are at this particular moment in God, in this particular moment in time, because God has orchestrated the circumstances and the events in our life to bring us to this moment. Now, again, you say, preacher, I'm not a robot. I'm not saying anybody's a robot. I know we don't always yield to the way God wants us to yield. But God works the circumstances in our life to get us to where He wants to be. And if we don't yield, He takes out the sandpaper and He takes out the hammer and takes out the shovel and smacks us beside the head. And He'll get us to that point that we want us, the point where He wants us to be so that we can be used by Him. And so tonight, here's the message. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste the opportunity. Almighty God the creator of the universe, has made you what you are tonight for this particular moment in time. He wants you to use the privileges that he has given you inside of his will. Use them. Use them. Who knows? Perhaps you are here for this very purpose. And if you don't use them, he might take them away and let somebody else do it. God's still going to accomplish his will. But what a waste it would be for us not to do what he's made prepared us to do. What a waste it would be for us to miss the opportunity to do what God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this encouragement and instruction from this young lady named Esther. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us all to realize that what we are today is not the result of accident, not the result of coincidence, but we are what we are today because of you. Because of you. And you put us in this moment of time. You want to use what we are for your purposes. When those opportunities come, help us to not shrink. Help us to not back away. But help us to do what you prepared us to do. Thank you for being a God that loves us enough to do that. Thank you for being a God that gives us all the privileges and the opportunity to serve you. And I pray, Father, that we'd be a people that would look for those opportunities and take advantage of them. I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Christ. I mean, maybe there's just one. But Father, if there's only one, Jesus died for that one. He shed his blood on Calvary for that one. He offers salvation to that one. And I pray if there is just one, that you would help them see their sin tonight. You'd help them see the price that Jesus paid for it. And you'd help them come to the Savior tonight, receiving the gift of eternal life. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.